Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. Live and local from our Green Tree Studios. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show. And as always, it's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 503 on this Thursday morning, powering through the week. Hopefully things are going all right for you as we kind of reach the end of this work week. I know why you're likely here. It's for the lighthearted, the more innocuous, but still kind of important, but not life or death kind of things in sports. So we're committed to doing that, talking about more of those lighthearted things and to provide some entertainment. We'll do so over the next 40 minutes and then into the Fan morning show from 5:40 to 10 a.m. and really throughout the day today here on 93.7 The Fan. Appreciate you tuning me in this morning on the radio.com app or in your cars if you're still driving around at this point. Definitely appreciate you tuning me in this morning. And I wanted to start today in a little bit of a different way, and kind of a bigger picture way, even. And I've got some other things to get into throughout the 40 minutes here, throughout the rest of the show, including some interesting things, I think, from yesterday that you may have missed, including the return, I guess, of Big Deal or No Big Deal. We'll play that to end the show today. But I'm a little sick of talking about the effects of the coronavirus in sports, I'll be honest. I mean, the league's shutting down and speculating on when and how they're going to start back up. And events are being canceled. I mean, you get it, right? There's nothing happening. And who knows when it will? Nobody does. So I wanted to take a little bit of a break, at least from that, and a little bit of a break from looking at the draft with the Steelers as that draws closer. Because there will be plenty of talk of that, as you know, it's at the end of this month. And there's still plenty to talk about on that area, so I'll leave that go to start the show today. I was thinking about this yesterday and kind of pulling all the layers back. You know, we talk about the Steelers at the draft and everything going on in the NFL. And my gut reaction to this thought and this feeling was no. That was whenever I first thought this in my mind as I was preparing for the show, you know, later on last night, was a hard no. And that is, in your heart of hearts, when you take off the Yinzer glasses, when you stop looking at the world, if you can, through, you know, black and yellow, do you believe that the Steelers can win another Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger? When it really comes down to it, over these next, maybe just next year, or next 2 years, maybe even three, if you are an optimist. Do you really believe they can win a Super Bowl with Ben? Again, my first thought, my first feeling was no. Let's look at the factors here. First, you can't really begin this discussion, and it's part of the question, but the biggest factor in all of it, and it's obvious, is Ben Roethlisberger. A few weeks ago, resident Ben Roethlisberger reporter Ron Cook, here at 93.7 The Fan of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he wrote that Ben said he was feeling no pain in throwing the football and that it was a relief because it was kind of the first time in years that he had not felt any kind of pain, any kind of strain on that elbow, on that arm when throwing a football. That he's dealt with it over the years and just thought that it was kind of a part of getting old. And initially, in throwing a ball after his surgery in the offseason, he's feeling no pain. And I took that as Ben is actually feeling good. That his elbow actually isn't feeling any pain. And he isn't just saying that. He's not just trying to kind of pump the tires on himself coming back in the upcoming season. Because we know over the years that Ben Roethlisberger is not afraid to tell us when he's dealing with pain.
Felt like the middle of my foot was just broken in half.
I mean, that's Ben Roethlisberger. So while we have no idea how it's actually going to hold up, maybe, just maybe, he's the Adam Wainwright of the NFL. He's that guy that comes back and maybe his football has a little bit more zip. Maybe his elbow actually is better, or he comes out with some extra life and some extra jump to his throws. Of course, that's the optimistic look at it, but it's at least a possibility at this point, based off of Ben's words. And that's all we can go off of for right now and him coming back from that. So that's the first factor in all of this. The second is, okay, you move to what's the competition going to be like? Let's look at the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, his emergence in the Kansas City Chiefs last year, as well as the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and that emergence last year, both two huge problems. And of course, the Ravens, you'll have to face them twice a year. And that's, let's be real about it. It's going to be something that's in the way. And probably will be in the way over the next 8, 9, 10 plus years with Lamar Jackson. If, of course, he stays healthy. And even more so with Patrick Mahomes in the AFC, you've got to get through that now to the Super Bowl. But as Mahomes and the Chiefs kind of emerge, it is definitely important and worth noting that the Patriots dynasty has crumbled. That's a huge factor in this whole picture. It's not guaranteed that Mahomes and KC create this dominance that New England did for years, for a decade plus. And while it could happen, we might just see how crazy it was to have a run that long in New England in a capped league. Like, we might just get more perspective on just how insane that was to win that many games, to have that that long of a string of success, to go to that many Super Bowls in an era in NFL football where you've got to constantly manage the cap, manage your roster, maybe put guys like, you know, take a chance on a guy like Julian Edelman, that he's going to be a stud receiver for you around Tom Brady, or insert any other, you know, lesser-known receiver that's not named Gronkowski that Brady made a star over the years. You take a chance in those areas to be able to build up a defense and a roster around the guy so that you can actually win a Super Bowl. Maybe we see just how crazy that was with the success that Mahomes and Kansas City have from here. Because everybody expects them now to just rip off like 5 Super Bowls in the next 10 years. So while that's possible, I would say that it's just as much a reality and a possibility that they don't. That they're more like the Colts with Peyton Manning, where they get to a couple of Super Bowls, but maybe only win one. Where they have a lot of regular season success, but they get into the postseason and it's not as successful as you would think. And then you get into the team dynamics of the Steelers over these next couple years. The defense is back to making plays. That proved to be true last year. Not a stud playmaker offensively, and that certainly proved to be true last year. Offensive line kind of going through a transition. I look at all those factors and those descriptors of the team dynamics, and it brings me back to a lot of the similar things that were said about that 2008 Super Bowl team for the Steelers. Great defense, full of playmakers. Offense didn't really have a stud, not a guy that was an overarching, you know, one of the best players in the league. I mean, obviously Ben Roethlisberger was there and he was much younger, much more spry. And he was very good. But Santonio Holmes, I mean, he was good. Hines Ward was there. Were these guys really at the top of the line? And remember how bad that offensive line was, where Ben, you know, in part of his kind of celebratory speech was like, take that O-line, because everybody ripped them because they were so bad. I know that was a while to go back, but it's there. It's part of this team's history. And speaking of history, you've also got to factor that into this whole equation. The Steelers won two Super Bowls despite the Patriots' dominance, right in the middle of it, actually. And I know Ben only has a year or two left, but even the Patriots didn't get there every year. And going back to Kansas City, like, you can't expect Kansas City to be in the Super Bowl every single year here from here on out with Patrick Mahomes. I always go back to that shining example of how a great defense can lift up an aging, battered quarterback, and that is Peyton Manning in his last year with the Denver Broncos winning that Super Bowl. Coming back from the neck surgery and not being close to 100%, and even missing most of that year, coming in and finishing out the job and winning that Super Bowl behind a great defense, and he wasn't even very good. I mean, if you look at his stats, I think it was like 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. I don't think Ben's going to throw 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. Maybe he will, but I'm holding it out that he's going to be a lot better than that. So going back to the original question, in your heart of hearts, when you take out all your biases, what's the plural of your bias of being a Steeler fan? Do you think the Steelers actually have a chance to win it all with Ben for the rest of his career? Maybe your answer is still no, like mine was initially. And maybe that's more the more sensible way to think about this. But I would say that there is a little more hope than I thought originally, that it's not necessarily a pipe dream. So how about that for some potential encouragement in these times that just, well, they just generally suck right now. All right, coming up next, a couple of things that you may have missed in sports yesterday, including a potential rematch that we saw, I think, last summer with some added spice to it and one guy's explanation of why he didn't go after Tom Brady that I'm just not buying. And then the return. I didn't do it for a couple weeks now because I just was afraid there wasn't all that much there and it would have sounded like crap, but I'm going to go for it today. It's big deal or no big deal. That'll return today to end the show. That's coming up next. It's the early morning show here on 93.7 The Fan. What has become just pretty much a roundup of things that you may have missed over the last 24 hours. It's while Yins were sleeping.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Was sleeping. Jeez. I don't know if I should fix that or just leave it go. Whatever, it's already been there for this long. Okay, first, a rematch in the works, and that is Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Maybe it's another round of these two going at it. So that's according to reports, a rematch between Woods and Mickelson is in the works. They hooked up for a winner-take-all $9 million deal in Las Vegas in November of 18. And maybe it's going to come back again with a kicker. Joining the twosome will be a pair of NFL quarterback icons, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. So this is according to golf.com and CNBC that Manning would pair with Mickelson, or Brady would pair with Mickelson, and Manning would play with Tiger Woods. So that's how those things would kind of set up. And instead of just $9,000 going to Mickelson, which he won it the first time around, the money raised would go to, of course, efforts to fight off this coronavirus. And the PGA Tour would have to kind of sanction this event. But according to golf.com, they cited an unnamed person familiar with the plans. The match would take place in Florida, and spectators would not be allowed per social distancing guidelines. So we don't know the exact timeline of this thing and when it'll actually occur, but this is something that I think the golf world, it makes it more cool. Golf does. And it did the first time around with events like this, where they have golfers kind of mic'd up, where you take your two most recognizable names, or, you know, two of one of the most, in Woods and Phil Mickelson, and put them up against each other with big personalities and kind of do it upright. And you add in Tom Brady and Peyton Manning into it. And in a time when everybody is looking for something to watch in the sports world, if I think golf can kind of, maybe it's got a chance to be the first to get back, because you can social distance a little more easily. You can't have guys spread out throughout a golf course. And of course, that's been some controversy here in PA as to whether golf courses should still be closed or not. I won't get into that, but it feels like golf can kind of take advantage of this time to take the forefront and present itself in a more positive and maybe even cool light. And something like this goes a long way to doing that. And speaking of a sport kind of taking the spotlight in these times, another one is racing, in particularly IndyCars. NBC Sports will broadcast IndyCar's second round of its iRacing Challenge. That's on Saturday at 2:30 on NBCSN. So if you're looking for just something to watch that's live, yes, it's virtual, and I'm getting closer and closer to watching something like this, just because it's supposed to be a live event, and it's not a rerun of something that happened, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. That I've seen so much across these networks. Inching closer to, I don't know if I'll tune in Saturday at 2:30 on NBCSN for this IndyCar race, but I'm getting there as this thing goes along. All right, Frank Reich, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. He was asked why the Colts decided to sign Philip Rivers over Tom Brady in free agency. And I'm just not buying this explanation. So he went through and said, you know, I watched the tape on Brady and he's an incredible quarterback, one of the best of all time. I mean, he's still making great plays, yada, yada, yada. But then when he got down to it of why did they pass on signing Brady, this story in CBS Sports says, Indianapolis thought Rivers was a better fit for the offense, citing how he has a history with Reich and the coaching staff, that he's reunited with the Colts offensive coordinator, who he spent 5 years with as an offensive assistant with the Chargers, and who Rivers played for from 2004 to 2019. Reich was the offensive coordinator for 2 seasons with the Chargers, spending 3 years total with Rivers out in San Diego, and that the Colts wanted a bridge quarterback and were uncertain if Brady would accept that kind of role. Brady signed a 2-year deal with Tampa Bay, and they signed Philip Rivers to a 1-year, $25 million contract. I am just not buying that explanation, that he was a better fit for the offense. You mean you can't find a fit for a 6-time Super Bowl champion, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time? You can't find a fit for him in your offense, and you're going to go with Philip Rivers, a guy that's been in the postseason a bunch of times and hasn't won a whole lot? Come on now. If the opportunity was there, if he would have pitched himself to the Colts like he did at Tampa Bay, there's no doubt that they would have taken Tom Brady over Philip Rivers. And then finally, there's Kendrick Perkins, who laid out a scenario that's been going on in his life on ESPN. And, well, just listen.
I hate video games, okay? My kids, what? The thing is, listen to this, Cass. I hate video games, okay? My kids, what? Drive me crazy with it. I do not indulge. Like, they drive me crazy. Because in my house is nothing but Fortnite, NBA 2K. It just drives me crazy. Quick story. I get my credit card bill back, right? I go to the store. I go to buy something. Credit card decline. I'm like, what happened? Uses, I just paid it. Come to find out, I got $16,000 worth of Fortnite bills on my credit card. Ever since then, I was like, you know what? I'm cool on Fortnite. I do not indulge in video games.
How much?
$16,000. And it was buying skins every day, whatever that is. I don't know, even know what it is. I had to dispute the charge, and I was like, you know what? Forget this video game stuff. So they don't even talk to me about it.
Oh, I'd be talking to them about video games if they spent $16,000 on a credit card. There would definitely be some conversations about Fortnite and video games. That's for certain. I know $16,000 means, you know, means different things for Kendrick Perkins as compared to me, but there'd definitely be some conversations there. All right, coming up next, big deal or no big deal to wrap up the show today. That's next. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 529 on this Thursday morning. Hope everything's going well for you and appreciate you tuning me in this morning. 8 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show, Pirates Insider, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey joins the show to talk about what would have been opening day or the home opener at PNC Park today against the Cincinnati Reds. But of course, that's not happening. And then at 9:30 today, Dave Mason, who is the BetOnline Sportsbook brand manager. He'll be joining the show at 9:30, and you'll hear a line from Sports or BetOnline that they put out yesterday here in Big Deal or No Big Deal. That's a little bit interesting, I think, and they've done a bunch of other stuff, too. They've gotten creative in their prop bets and their over-unders on things. I mean, you have to at this point in time, so he'll go over this, all of that on the show today at 9:30. But here we go. Play along if you wish. It's Big Deal or No Big Deal.
Now, it's time to play everybody's favorite sports game, Big Deal or No Big Deal.
All right, let's fire it up. The first thing today, there is more uncertainty around the Steelers being in Latrobe this summer than ever before. Is this a big deal or no big deal?
Big deal.
Yeah, this was brought to the forefront by Jerry Dulac in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette yesterday. And it's something I didn't really think about in this whole coronavirus shutdown. Is that something I didn't really think through that far because it seems so far off in the summer. And I just kind of assume in my mind that everything will kind of be cleared up by then. But at this point, I shouldn't assume anything with how kind of slow things have moved, even though, you know, I won't get into the details of everything, but I guess it's on the table. 54 years straight that the Steelers have been at Latrobe, at St. Vincent. This is one of the best traditions locally for sure, but also one that is kind of unique to the league, I think. And nobody does this anymore. And going to a college campus for a camp that's not like right across the street from the facility. I think the Packers do that where it's technically a campus, but I mean, it's right across from where they normally practice anyway. So it's not all the way out in, you know, a place like Latrobe. It's in its own little world. There's a deep romanticism there. And if the Steelers are forced to kind of keep things to the south side and not go there and not be on that campus, that'll definitely be a big deal, I think. And who knows when that decision will actually be made and if it will come to fruition. All right, next, as I mentioned, Bet Online. It has better odds for the Steelers to finish third than first in the AFC North this upcoming season. Big deal, no big deal.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, to be technical with it, so second and third place, Bet Online has the Steelers at 7-4 odds, and then at first place, it has 7-2 odds. Another case of winning the offseason, right? The Ravens, they deserve those better odds, I think. They've bolstered their defense. We know what that offense is capable with and of with Lamar Jackson. We saw that last year. Whether or not he's going to be able to repeat it to the same level remains to be seen, but you see the potential. The Browns, the Steelers having the same odds to finish third than second in this division, and you would assume that the Browns would be that other team to kind of make a run towards second place and not Cincinnati. Go out and win more than six games first, Cleveland, before I believe that they're the same odds there of the Steelers being in second place than Cleveland. I guess it makes sense because you just don't know what and who Ben Roethlisberger is going to be, and I mentioned that in the first segment to begin the show today. It's odds on a season that will start in September. and it's April 2nd. And when these came out, it was April 1st. So that's kind of the perspective on, you know, odds for the Steelers to finish where in the AFC North. All right, next. West Virginia Athletic Director Shane Lyons said yesterday he hopes to continue the basketball series with Pitt after the current four-year contract expires. Big deal or no big deal here?
Not a big deal.
I've kind of soured on this kind of talk because of the nonsense with Pitt and Penn State over the years in football. And I know that's not really fair to say because this isn't the same thing. Because West Virginia is obviously not Penn State. And I think the dynamics are different. I don't think West Virginia views itself as superior to Pitt or, you know, kind of thumbs their nose at Pitt. And if it leans anyway, it might be that Pitt kind of looks down on WVU, to be honest with you. But the backyard brawl, the only version, you know, we get of it now, just doesn't have the same juice for me. Like, the programs are so different, and they've gone in different directions, and the characters aren't the same. And it's kind of like, I was thinking about it yesterday, it's kind of like Christmas Vacation 2. Christmas Vacation is one of my favorite movies of all time. Not just Christmas movies, but favorite movies, period. But Christmas Vacation 2. Like, you recognize the brand, the name, the theme of it, but the characters aren't the same, most of them, and the original version is hard to match. Like, there's no Jamie Dixon, there's no old-school, physical Big East. So, it just doesn't mean as much when they're not in the same conferences as well. I mean, all of those games meant so much because they were battling it out for a position within the conference to get those bids for the NCAA tournament. And that was kind of the added pressure and the added theatrics of the whole thing. So, I just think that, you know, if it does continue, that's great. But it'll never quite be the same as the old Pitt WVU matchups in the Big East. And finally, Antonio Brown. He was working out with Lamar Jackson and his cousin, Hollywood Brown, in Florida. Big deal, no big deal here.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, doesn't mean that the Ravens are going to go out and sign AB. This feels like a, hey, AB, you're not doing anything these days. You want to hop along for a workout and we'll take a picture, not socially distance, and get people fired up about it. Right now, it feels like an AB return is far away. And it feels like the NFL doesn't really want any part of him coming back either by still dragging its feet on the investigation and reinstating him potentially to even play. He really made the wrong people angry in all of this. And that is kind of showing through this, and that there has been nothing in the way of Antonio Brown news, which I'm kind of surprised by, because you'd think the NFL would at least recognize the name and the potential flash that they have in Brown, and having him back in the league and him on the field could be beneficial to them money-wise, marketing-wise, I guess. I don't know if you really market him at this point. But he is a major personality that's left out on the sidelines, and they're still not doing anything with him. And again, he must have really, really made the wrong people angry in what he did. All right, question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. The U.S. Open in Wimbledon, they're canceled. Would you normally go out of your way to watch both? Are you really devastated and upset to see this news, that both the U.S. Open and Wimbledon have been canceled? Or maybe you even go out of your way to watch one. Your feelings on those two events as one of the many kind of sports casualties along the way in this shutdown across America. All right, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Join Sun for the American Red Cross Blood Drive, April 6th from 10 to 3. Go to sunchevy.com for details and appointments. Today, sunny and breezy and a high of 54, and then tonight, mainly clear and a low of 33. Pre-show, next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.